Welcome to the Behind the Racket Pod, the podcast taking you behind the racket with today's top tennis players and biggest issues facing the sport.
Behind the Racket is a community to give fans and players in the world of tennis the opportunity to open up like they have never done before.
Visit BehindTheRacket.com for the latest stories, merch, as well as direct links to all of the latest podcasts. It can also be found on iTunes, Google Play, Pandora, Stitcher, and wherever you find your podcasts. Download the episodes and make sure to leave a review.
And we want you to be a part of the conversation. Find me at NoahRubin33 or Mike at MikeCTennis on all forms of social media. You can also learn more at BehindTheRacket.com or MikeCTennis.com.
Special thanks to my sponsor, New Balance. Visit their latest shoes and styles at NewBalance.com and learn more about their program of giving back at #NBGivesBack.
You can also help support the podcast by visiting patreon.com/BehindTheRacketPod and receive rewards from our travels around the world. And now,
well, coming to you from the LaGuardia Plaza Hotel. See, I can say that. That was my speaker turning on. It's okay. Everything's fine. Right. I can say that now because otherwise, you know, if we said it last week, people would just be flocking to the LaGuardia Plaza Hotel.
They wouldn't know where to find it.
The groupies, man. Woo! Woo! Everybody
their
panties
just would be everywhere.
Wow, it's more than I was. I was going to go with just the autographs.
Oh,
just signing the autographs, not the other
You've
stuff.
Have you signed one?
Have I signed an autograph? Yeah. Oh yeah,
I've actually seen you sign one before, and it's glorious.
I used to get it a lot in Champaign. I was a fairly large celebrity in a smaller town. Well, I shouldn't say fairly large, but a minimal.
Do you think there's a young boy in the outskirts of Illinois that has a picture of you on their wall?
I know there's a doctor who does.
Did you give that doctor a picture of yourself?
I didn't. He printed it off the internet.
Wow.
Yeah, he has a picture of Madison Keys and a picture of me.
In fine company, you are.
In fine company. That's my grandfather's doctor. Noah, thank you for coming out here to the LaGuardia Plaza. I'm not working today. We're recording this 3 hours from the men's final.
Yeah.
So no discussion of who won the men's final on this particular podcast. You've got things to do. I'm what's called on call.
Yes.
Just in case anything horrible happens to one of the other broadcasters today. So I have to be close.
You said like an on-site alternate.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
Like nearly a player.
It's like you when you played Andy Murray last year.
Right.
Same thing.
Except for you make money.
I mean, you got a little bit. You at least got a per diem.
I got per diem.
So, yeah, my U.S. Open is over. It has been a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I got to do 3 Carlos Alcaraz matches, all 3 of them in 5 sets, 2 of them ending after 2 a.m.
I was
going
to say, it was 6 days of Carlos Alcaraz. and
I think he physically broke me, so I can't imagine what he did to everyone else. Because I came into this tournament in pretty good mental shape, to be perfectly honest. In the first week, I'm like, yeah, everything's really good. And then right now, I'm just like, oh, Lord.
Yeah.
He got me. He got me. Carlitos,
out to the back end side. You're like, one more.
But it's been a really fun couple of weeks getting to do another women's final. It was very cool yesterday with Iga coming through. She is
fucking good tennis
she
player.
Is a force mentally.
Yeah.
I don't know that she played close to her best tennis the entire 2 weeks, and still
even yesterday had lapses and still was dominating.
She is an impressive human being.
And Ons played great tennis throughout the week
the finals. First set, she even had chances in the second set, and that was tough because the general feeling amongst all of the broadcasters who I talked to yesterday, everybody said, brain tells me Iga's going to win.
Mm.
And the heart really wants Ons to win.
Yeah.
Literally, that was the words out of everyone's mouth. Everybody really wanted nothing about Iga, but just everybody just has such love and respect for Ons. And that hurt that she came out so flat or nervous or whatever it was in the first set.
think two just good people, though.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
There's a picture of Anz fixing Iga's the collar, and you're just like, they're just good people.
And then, and like, she stole the check from from Iga as well. It was fantastic. And you are, I said this on the broadcast yesterday, actually, to your point. We're left with, you know, in the live rankings today, one versus two on both the men's and the women's finals.
Right.
And on top of it, all four of them, and let's include Francis in there as a semifinalist, all five of them are such incredible representatives for the sport. Casper's obviously quiet.
Yep.
But he's just a good human. Yeah. Francis with that smile and what I didn't say this on the broadcast because I felt very awkward about it. Frankly, as a white guy, an old white guy.
Yeah.
Because it's the dynamics of this are difficult, but
people are sensitive. Yeah, but it's
walking through the bowels of ASH.
Yeah.
The workforce there is predominantly Black, yeah. Latino, and to hear them all talking about, I'm going to be here to watch the brother.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, that feels very awkward for me to say, but you could tell how much Francis being there meant to them, and seeing fucking Michelle Obama is there, right? And just the athletes across the
US. It's like a camaraderie, but almost with the sport that we probably, it's almost like a passing the torch. I mean, we could talk about the Serena and what that has brought to the Monday, Tuesday sessions. You know, skyrocketing ticket sales and viewership. But, you know, you only heard people speaking on that topic necessarily. I mean, golf is getting it.
Yes.
But Tiafoe, with his social presence as well, and having Bradley Beal and all, it's what tennis has needed for so long. And
a male presence.
A male presence on that side. So we've had that woman, you know, we had these women and the Williams sisters, now golf taking it, and even Osaka, you know, and having that diversity. But we've been looking for that American male, you know, as much as it is, that American male is a force. And Tiafoe might have the right personality for it, as much as he's a clown and we make fun of him. And, you know, he's him, you know, he's unapologetically him, and it's helped.
Yeah, it really has. And, that's kind of the thing I'm going to be left with, is just hearing about the tennis while walking through the bowels of ASH.
Yeah.
Just because people there felt represented.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, ultimately that's kind of what you look for, right? Is, we hear that a lot when we talk about specifically females, you know, and I think about that as a girl dad, just having those representatives and somebody for my daughter to look up to and say, oh, I can do that. And I think it's important now that we do have that in Francis. And I think that's fantastic. And I know he seems actually ready now to accept that and handle a little bit of that responsibility. And I don't know that he was, say,
no,
even last year or the year before, to be honest.
No, not at all. No, I mean, actually, even going back a little bit, I think Nishikori was kind of the first ones that I saw where people in New York felt represented when I was talking to others. And I guess it wouldn't hit me the same. And I didn't think, you know, too clearly on it, but, you know, finally in the open, and they're like, no, we have somebody, you know, we have somebody now. So yeah, you know, with Tiafoe, and I've seen a few interviews, Wayne's presence in that box, game changer. I don't know the words. I mean, could have made this career what it is. And we don't know where it goes from here. I'm actually very curious to see a Francis Tiafoe at the top of the sport and what kind of pressure that comes with for him.
Agreed.
But wow. I mean, that was somebody early on. I was like, I don't know how this communication is going to go from one to the other, but shit, it's working.
Yeah.
And I think he's trusting him.
He is. And one thing, I've known Wayne for a long time. He actually, in my first day broadcasting at the Australian Open 2017, he was one of the first two commentators I worked with. And he's such a good counterbalance. Because he's not going to give you emotion. He's going to be very dry and just there, calming presence. And he makes sure, and Brad Stein has talked about this with Tommy as well,
yeah,
make sure that the practices and all of that is fun. Everything is built around Francis having fun because that's when he's at his
being
best.
Himself.
You give me an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever it is of work, and then the rest is yours. You have as much fun as you want. Do what you. But this is our time to put in the work. And there's, I'm happy for Francis. He's certainly earned it. It's been fun to watch this last 2 weeks.
Question for you. Yeah. I lost on Francis. Obviously, tough loss. Fit set.
Right. And he didn't play particularly well.
I don't think either percentage. Played. I think there was kind of ebbs and flows of that match. And I think that's kind of one of the only things Alcaraz kind of has to focus on is finding kind of that balance between I'm going to hit Mach 12 or not. But did Francis, I know this is going to sound crazy, is his best result, an incredible result, but how much more does he need in the near future to kind of build upon that? Where does a semis take him in terms of tennis, in terms of presence?
I don't know that I have a good answer for that yet. Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with Novak. Looks like he's going to have the opportunity to come back here and play Australia. That got announced this week. Sasha Zverev coming back.
I heard too much about people that weren't playing this tournament still.
I fully agree. And it's what's interesting, and this is going to come across as harsh, but there weren't any quote-unquote villains at this tournament. Like, I didn't...
Nick, not enough for you? I don't think he was, to be honest.
Yeah, so. I don't think he was either. There weren't... this was as...
He was too professional for most of the time.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. it was one of the few feel-good events where there was just no negativity at all. And I'm not saying that in relation to Novak or Sasha, but they obviously have.
The media was pulling at that.
Yeah. And so, but in terms of answering your question, I don't know that I have a good feel for what's going to happen in the ATP at all for the next couple of years, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I think everybody. Again, we're recording this before the men's final, but I think everybody acknowledges that Carlitos is going to be up at the top for a long, long time, as long as his body holds up.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I really don't. I mean, Casper Ruud's going to be top solid, five for a long time, you think. Francis, I think he's... I'd have to say he's a top 20 guy for another... 10 years, and then he's on to doing something where he's able to use that big smile. And
I mean, it comes down to the simple fact is the consistency is not there almost on either side right now. I mean, to be honest, I mean, there's definitely more on the women's. I think we had this jumbled for the past 2 years on the WTA side.
Ash had the block where she was clearly the dominant force.
There's always been like a number one and two.
Yeah,
but
Naomi.
From there, they had what? It was like 2 years of different... semifinals in the slams for WTA, but the men's, I think the depth is better than it's ever been.
Yes.
Mixed with, we don't have that dominating force of three players. You know, I think a Ruud is going to be extremely solid.
Yep.
Am I going to be? He lost to Ben Shelton, and Ben Shelton's up and coming is going to be amazing. Does that mean that that's a loss that Nadal would have had? Probably not, you know?
Yeah, right.
So you look at that and Casper will lose those matches. So we're going to have interesting Grand Slams, especially in the 3 out of 5. I think it's going to come out. Even Medvedev, for a guy who's super consistent, he's also super inconsistent. You know, you don't know what kind of Medvedev you're going to have that day. And to say that he's not going to play on one surface, basically, is also very difficult.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to see how this plays out early January and... Is Nadal going to be back? You know, is this the last we saw of him?
Yeah.
Djokovic is obviously here for another
5 years.
Yeah.
33, 34, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Five more years.
Yeah, pushing, but sure. You know, with how, you know, good shape he's in, but he might be the last of it. And Murray is not gunning for, you know, titles anymore. So it's up. It's open for grabs.
There are going to be a lot of people who don't like that statement.
I know. So I don't care.
You seem to have been very active in your watching of tennis.
I have.
Which was interesting.
For you?
Yeah.
You're like, for other
he's
people,
actually
know.
Paying attention to tennis for real.
Yeah. No, I think this is a testament to Alcaraz a little bit. It really is. It's something that I haven't seen. And it doesn't mean that, you know, watching other tennis has bored me. I've watched a decent amount of tennis. I'm not putting in full five set matches without a doubt. Shocking if I watch 3 out of 5 of those sets. So watching a few of his points earlier on, I'm like, this is unbelievable. Like, we haven't seen this in sports. Like, yeah. He is a generational athlete.
Yes.
Where I wouldn't necessarily, it's tough not to say this for Fed, because obviously he is. But just athleticism-wise is something that really entertains me when I'm looking at other sports, is what they're doing with their bodies that other people just can't physically. Yeah. And, you know, we had issues about where his, you know, physicality would be, what his body would hold up. And then to watch him in Sinner, and then to after a match against Cilic, and then put it back. And I was like, there's no possible way he's recovered. There's just no chance he's recovered. And then to do that again in the fifth, again, it wasn't the best match for sure. Sinner, Alcaraz was
elite.
Was elite.
As high as it gets.
As high as it gets. And for the faux match, not at the same level, but still insane. And sliding out, I keep saying this, sliding out on your non-dominant leg after you're on your 13th hour of tennis past midnight again.
Yep, in 5 days.
What the fuck? So yeah, that brought me kind of into the sport. I think the reaction from my friends that obviously know tennis at this point, but they're like, this guy is out of this world.
Yes.
And to hear that reaction and that excitement, and they were excited for Fo. I will say there was this American male tennis player.
Yes.
But their reactions, they're like, no, this is, even them not being all tennis players were like, this is different, and I need to keep watching it.
Yeah.
That was the same, you know the point you called. I mean, not enough to hit a behind-the-back shot, but now he's again sliding out in a full split. And that's when, you know, I tweeted out, and I was having fun, and I said I will do a full five-set match. And I stayed up, and I did the whole thing. And I was exhausted. I don't know how the fuck he did it.
Yeah.
I don't know how the fuck you did it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're half a man at the moment.
Yes.
I mean,
half of a man.
Right. But it's just like, it wasn't ending.
Yeah, I know.
and that's when I tweeted out that some people got upset, but he's a combination. He has things that some of these others, you know, when we were looking at Rafa at this age, and I'm not comparing them to their prime, but looking at Rafa, Fed, and Djoko, and kind of taking a little bit, the movement of Djokovic, the attacking nature and volleys and moving in and closing in at the net, and then the ability just to grind out points from the baseline and be in full splits. I'm like, what?
He's otherworldly.
I think his biggest problem, which I said, is people are going to play his best tennis, but I think his biggest problem is he might just get bored and just see how much bigger can I hit it. Mm. You know, when I saw on the forehand a few times on a couple break points against Fo, it was like, why am I not going to just go inside out forehand as big as I can?
Right.
Because I usually make this.
Yeah.
So I was just interested. I really was.
Yeah, he got people talking about tennis who don't normally talk about tennis. Yeah. Same as Francis, actually.
Right.
So that was one of those matches that whoever got through that, you knew it was going to be good for today's final because of the fact that both of them just were drawing people into that sport. You seem to, at the same time, you seem to have some reservations about the whole big picture of, it's funny because I'm exhausted right now,
right.
So that you've got that factoring in. But I'm leaving this tournament really happy about where tennis is at.
Right.
Always going to be issues.
Yes,
for sure. 100%. But like, I found myself, I was just like, damn it, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Everybody seemed to have a great time. Attendance was record-setting almost every day. Ratings were super high for ESPN.
Right.
Everything about it was really good. I'm gonna ride that positivity wave for a little bit, and then in comes Noah to the LaGuardia Plaza Hotel.
Yeah. No. Again, I think I saw a lot of things that were great. I mean, Faux Coco, fantastic.
Yes.
You know, we needed two semis there. Would have been nice to have more. Taylor Townsend in the finals of doubles is amazing.
Yeah, she's playing right now, so we don't have that result.
Right. So that, I mean, just amazing. And, you know, she's playing with McNally, so it's a great American. You know, we have a lot on the double side. Carlos, I need to see this from him. just to be kind of, we knew the potential, we knew it was there, but to see this, it opens the door to kind of greatness, you know, saying, could we have another person in that category?
Yeah. I'm not 20 I don't, plus Sam.
I don't know if he can do it, but we're talking, he has the opportunity to, I mean, he's 19 right now. He could play. We're talking
20 years,
60 slams, you know, he has the potential for.
All right. that's three a year. For 20 years.
No. I'm not saying he'd have. I'm saying he has it. He's going to play. He's going to play.
Right.
Yes. No. he's going to play 60 slams. And like in my head, can he not take 15 of those? You know, like,
yeah, right, sure.
You know, so I don't know if he's going to surpass 22. I don't know. But seeing this from him, it was exciting. And I want one other person. I need one other person at that level. Is that a
You're medical? Talking about male,
yes.
Right? Because
I need a rivalry.
Okay. You need an Iga and Coco or an Iga and Naomi.
And that was let me finish with the male.
Yeah.
I don't know who that's going to be. I don't know if Medvedev has that. Rude, you're very sweet and you're a great tennis player. The excitement's not there right now.
Yeah.
He can build upon that. I don't know if that's in his tennis game, and I don't want him to be something he's not. He was stepping up with his forehand, throwing a few fist bumps, more than I was seeing in the past, but it's just not there enough. Medvedev, I think, would be a good counterpart to that.
Yes.
And a Nick, you know? We don't know what Nick looks like.
He said it during the tournament, and I think he actually did mean it. If he won the tournament, he was done. I fully believe it at this point.
I believe that he looked himself in the mirror before this tournament. He said, let's fucking do it.
Yeah.
And disappointing because I actually think he didn't play great against Khachanov.
Oh, he played poorly.
And Khachanov has not been, I actually don't think he's been also playing great tennis.
Khachanov.
I won't be doing that.
Okay.
And yeah, so it's, who else are we looking at?
Yeah.
Medvedev, name somebody.
Fritz, Tiafoe. I don't know if Tiafoe's going to, I mean, if he,
right.
I need a full year from him.
Right, at this level and this confidence.
He still has a below 500 record on tour.
Hmm. That's very interesting.
Which I didn't actually think about until I saw it right before the semifinal.
Well, he's very good at running the waves of confidence, so if he's doing well at the tournament, he's in.
I need a full year of him to be top 10. And he's going to be, 17 or something? Novak. Sinner is right there.
Is that, obviously that match was insane and exciting. Is Sinner enough for a rivalry?
That's a great question. I don't know. Right. I mean, he's still also extremely young too. Right, he's 21.
But he's so professional. I know.
Yes.
You know, he's so, so professional. That's why I said it was probably one of the most mentally strong players I've seen on tour.
And I'll say, but if you give me those types of matches, those instant classics, every tournament between
his
those
tennis
two,
may be exciting
it
enough.
It could be that those two, their tennis complements each other so well, right?
Right. That's why Medvedev, I think, is at the top of the list right now. And then I was looking at the woman, Iga. Great person, great player. You find her exciting enough? You think she...
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I haven't watched enough yet to put her...
What is fantastic to me is just her brain there's no way to measure those kind of things, right? Like you can measure foot speed, you can measure racket speed, all of that, and winners, unforced, whatever. You can't measure what's here in this skull. Her brain is off the charts. Off the charts.
Like tennis IQ,
her willpower. Mm. I mean, she does have that Rafa streak in her where it's just like, I'm not going to lose today. Fuck you.
Yeah.
And I think that is going to be, there are things that are going to improve. Her serve still needs a lot of work. And her forehand still is a bit of a struggle on these faster courts. But I have no question about her ability and willingness to just put in the effort and every time she steps on the court, fuck you, I'm going to beat you.
And with the
compliments
with the off-court, fun, light nature.
Yeah, I think she's a top three player for a very long time, health permitting, 100%. Right? Coco is the natural answer. I don't, Naomi is, talent wise, there's no question. It's a matter of
where are we seeing her? Yeah. What's the next step?
Yeah. And that's totally okay.
Right. No, 100%.
I don't know. That's kind of where
I think we needed a, like a Bianca, you know, I think we needed something along those lines.
Yeah.
Where was this fashion forwardish pop,
sure,
you know, in
sure.
the public eye, social.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's what Faux has right now. That's one of those guys where we need that. We can't
yes.
be the sport that, you know, in this day and age that has the least amount of followers. I mean,
yep.
Coco should have, you know, 5-10 million followers on so, like, you know, you're looking at this and yeah, Alcaraz now has 3 million, but we need more of that. And yeah, I don't, on the women's side, I think we need one more player kind of in there that's making waves and on TikTok.
Outside of just tennis.
Outside
is what
of
you're
just
saying.
Tennis.
Yeah, yeah.
I
get that. That's pretty interesting. Did you hear Maria Sharapova's comment?
I did not, no.
I'm gonna be paraphrasing
yeah, botch
here,
it, yeah.
but basically she went on ESPN and basically said, you know, it's when I played, it was a murderer's row.
Mm.
And it's telling that the 40-year-old Serena is able to go out and beat the number two player in the world.
Mm.
And it was just one of those, just like,
yeah.
Yeah. They're, you know, like, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. This is kinda, on ESPN.
Kinda, yeah.
That? Okay.
And so I get like, I get what she's saying. Right. And first off, her talking about Serena is fascinating, considering their dynamic for
yeah.
many years. But
right, who was that a dig at almost?
Yeah, right.
Everybody.
But it's going to be interesting this coming year, 2023, who's going to be the one to step up and push Iga off of that throne. Ons is a little bit, I hate to say this because she's a little bit on the older side.
Yeah,
on the,
yeah.
the women's side, we still haven't had those outside of the Williams sisters,
right.
35 plus that are willing to do it. So when she's 28, 29, you just say, okay, well.
Four solid years, sneak a slam or two.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
So, yeah, who's that next one to push Iga for 10 years? The natural answer is Coco.
Yeah. It's also interesting because, I think about 4 months ago we said, we thought that this year was going to be the year of retirements, which it has been.
Certainly has been.
But 2023 is also going to be that, where people have put another year, like a full non-COVID
yeah.
year in and been like, this is kind of all I've had now.
Yeah.
And kind of going on Sharapova's comment, there's no reason why Gasquet comes out right now in his form and doesn't beat somebody that's top 10
yeah.
in the world. Like, if I saw that somewhere to slam, we'd be like, okay,
yeah
not crazy. But he may stop soon. So
sure.
I'm curious where now, again, it's on both sides, men and women, where is that dynamic with the young guns, like the Sheltons or the Drapers that are coming up, or the ones that are at 200 now that are going to be you know, 120. It's all up in the air. Like, there's nothing that's stable right now besides Iga and Alcaraz that we know
yeah.
if their bodies are okay, they're going to be
yes.
one in the world for a long period of time.
Yeah.
No, so
that's absolutely right. You went to the PTPA meeting.
Mm.
Yes. It was the same time as the, what was the dinner event with the
Taste of Tennis.
Taste of Tennis. Thank
yes.
you.
Yeah, it was not ideal timing.
Not ideal.
No.
I can tell you, and I would say this to Vasek if he was here
yeah.
right now. I know you'll give more information about
mm-hmm.
the new CEO and all of that. The media views the PTPA at this point as a joke.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Why wouldn't they? Yet it was what, 2 years on the nose basically
yeah,
since
right.
that, you know, grandstand meeting. Yeah, the scheduling, I texted them right before and I was like, is this real? And they're like, yeah. I was like, it's going to be tough.
There were, 20-ish players there?
Yeah, the attendance was not ideal, as expected. First, I was shocked. It was legit. You know, it was something. you know, for the 2 years that we were talking, it was, you know, well, Wade, and, you know, this is what we're working on. And, you know, I've been there, you know,
yeah.
There's BTR, I've done all of that. And I know that, you know, some things just may not be pushing along the way they should,
yep.
But you have some top people involved. You have Ahmed Nasser that was with the NFL, started the NFL and NHL, I believe, and he's the CEO. You have Bill Ackman putting up funds. I mean, these you have real money. You know, you have actual movement.
Right, right.
So for me, I was shocked. I really thought I was going to come into this thing being like, we are, see you next year, let's see. But no, they have. Sustainability for at least a little bit of time. You know, I think they still have to come out with a step-by-step for the public, I think is very important.
Agreed.
Is to regain the public and media perception of, and that's going to take time.
Yeah.
You know, the players are one thing. I was still disappointed with the players. You know, I complain a lot, but at least when push comes to shove, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be hoping for the best. And I'm going to be saying, let's see where tennis can go. I'm not just going to be sitting on my couch. And I know you and I disagreed a little bit with this and, you know, lost the trust of the players after 2 years. But in my head, you still show up and you say, where are we right now?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what, you know, I did and learned a lot. And does it mean I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt now? I'm you know, speaking to Bill and Ahmed and seeing where they are. You have to give them a little bit of wiggle room with the ATP and WTA and all the entities. This is men and women, you know,
yeah.
Just for people to know. And to see what they can do, see if this does scare them, because, you know, we saw the effects of LIV Golf, and it doesn't mean that there's
sure.
going to be another tour. But with this power and this, you know, this money behind them, it should scare them. You know, it really should. So that's what happened.
Yeah, I think the LIV Golf
yeah.
thing, which is still extremely problematic for me, but that's
100%
a different story.
But the basis of it, where golf then found money out of thin air
yes.
after that to
yes.
have a salary.
Blood money, but sure. PTPA goes down that road, then it's just like dead to me. But that's a different beast.
I meant PGA, though.
I understand.
Based off of that. Yes. No, I understand.
I understand. I think it would be... I, you and I both have talked about this at length. More representation for the players is not going to be a bad thing.
Right.
More players getting more money at lower-ish levels. The fact, I mean, you were somehow in both the New York Times and NPR this week, despite not...
Sports Illustrated as well.
Sure,
but
not even playing tennis anymore.
Yeah.
But it's just like... We need it's right there. It's still an issue that the 80th player in the world is not getting paid
yeah.
nearly what any other sport is getting paid, and then the financial inequities that we have on the women's side right, still right. an issue. So those are issues. I know we've got some media issues in terms of how it's portrayed, all of that, and yet I still come. I leave this tournament. With 18 bags under each eye and a giant smile on my face.
Yeah, I want to finish up the PTPA pretty quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's only so much. I mean, a guy like Bill Ackman, he doesn't fail, really. You know, this is a guy that's going to, you know, be a part of it.
He hasn't met you that yet, though. You could really bring him down.
You don't know what I'm capable of.
You don't know how quickly I can sink
I've
something.
Turned the best of ships around. But in my head, it's still the same thing. ATP doesn't get scared unless there's competition to some extent. So whether it's the threat of one, whether it's leveraging LIV in some way, shape, or form, that seems like the end all be all. Because you go up to them and say, money, please. We're nice and we want to work together. And it seemed like they were open to it. And again, these are what I've always wanted for tennis was people that cared a lot, but were in the business world. People that knew what they were doing, you know, with Gaudenzi. Yeah, great to have somebody, but is he ready to run this multi-billion dollar enterprise? I don't know. And we're seeing it where we are struggling. But to take this kind of back where tennis is right now and being kind of a fan for a week or 2 weeks, try not to watch qualifying because fuck it. But yeah, I was arguing with some tennis traditionalists about the night matches. Yeah. These are not night matches. These are morning matches. Yeah. And you're exhausted. Obviously, you're putting a ton of effort. But for the average person that's watching it, there's no kid that's going to watch that match.
I know. But I hear that. And actually, Gil Gross, who was part of the broadcast team, said this as well. So I'm piggybacking off of his thoughts. But everybody who was there, mm-hmm. everybody who watched it, mm-hmm. there's something special about being at those matches and it being New York, the late night, this city represented well by playing well past midnight. There is something about that that is important and special and different. I'm fully on board with this idea that I want more kids to be watching it. And I think part of the answer would be moving it to a 6 o'clock night session start instead of 7 would help. There is something special about that, Noah, that five setter that ends at 2 a.m. is, and you watched it. There's something.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Do we need 3 of them? No. You know, but that's what it is. Are we talking about Chilich's match? We're not.
Yeah. Right. I am because I'm still recovering.
It's, it's the kids is the big issue. It. And then it always comes back to, it's a line that gets drawn. Where does that line waver? Is it worth it in the end? Is it worth a 28,000 person stadium only having 4,000 people at the end of that match? Yeah. Is that worth it? So yes, that match is super special. It's great. But does it not feel the same at 11 o'clock at night? Does it have to be 2?
I totally understand.
So it's those things that I think, you know, and there's, you know, going into just deeper tennis, which there's no way, unless fundamentally and foundationally breaking down how tennis works on a bracket tour draw, there's no way to change the scheduling, and it sucks.
Yeah.
It just sucks. You know, being on, you know, Eubanks' posse for like a minute, that was like the best of it, and it was still, you know, 45 minutes off, an hour off, and then my dad was mistiming because he came, and it's just like little things being on that side of it. As much people think, well, that's not a big deal, you know. Yeah, but maybe that's enough for me not to come tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's enough for, not my dad, he's a tremendous tennis fan, but, you know, my dad's friend who stopped by to say, I don't need to go next year. And those are the things that I just don't think we have the ability to not look at that stuff and be like, how do we make this a little easier?
To answer some of those questions, those concerns, I know.
Oh, okay.
You're coming at it from a very, go ahead.
No, it's my father.
Okay. Yeah.
He heard me.
Yeah, I know that was very,
that was a little
weird. Actually kind of weird. You're coming at it from a very tennis perspective. Like you've been in this world to the nth degree for a long period of time. Whereas I got the sense from walking around the grounds, there were a lot of people who wanted to just watch this match for half an hour. And that match for half an hour. And then I'm going to go have a couple honey deuces. And then I'm going to go over to the Chase Center and do some of those activities and all of that.
Okay. I have to for a second. Then it goes down to what I've been talking about for a while was then if you're going to go in that direction, you keep the schedule where it's less about the players, which I think is a must. Because I always thought it was going to drop after the big three, which probably will. Then you're marketing tennis and you're marketing as a festival. That's right. What they want.
Yeah.
So that, and I completely agree. That's like the same with baseball. I know you're somewhat a fan. I'm not personally as a watcher, but I can't wait to go, you know, to the ballpark and have a hot dog and a beer and walk around and test my pitch out. Then that's how we market tennis.
Agreed.
Okay. So why are we fighting right now?
Or not.
Okay.
I completely agree with that idea. And then you've got your diehards who are just involved to the nth degree, and they're going to be locked into match on court 7 that they want to watch. And then they're going to be like, I've got 5 matches I'm going to watch today and go from place to place. It's finding that balance, that appropriate balance, right? That's kind of what we're talking about. But I do feel like this week, I mean, especially when you think of fan week with qualifying, even though you don't like it, like that was just such a fun week of just coming out and just being there, doing all this stuff. And there's great tennis around and that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think more of that is totally fine, especially as we go down to the lower levels. And if you're able to make an event at a challenger where it's just like, come hang out. And then there's some good tennis on those two courts right over there.
So then I think the last thing, it goes into kind of how tennis is played and some of the smaller rules that I think can make a tremendous impact.
Like?
Clapping, talking, movement.
Yeah, for sure.
So I wanted to watch Brooksby play Chorich right before Eubanks.
Yeah.
And actually, awful tennis match, really bad tennis. But besides that, I had to wait. I guess I was really poor timing. I just got there. And I timed it.
At a set break?
No, this was not a set break. This was two games.
Okay.
I had to wait 13 and a half minutes
to
get into that grand that would play on grandstand. Not okay. I'm leaving. I'm not watching that match if I'm anybody else.
Finally, something you and Mark Pecci can agree on.
Oh, hey, Mark.
There shouldn't be after third game, you shouldn't have to wait to three games, two games, whatever.
13 and a half minutes. It was a long two games. I get that. Yeah. 13 and a half minutes. There was a kid next to me that was pushing his dad saying, what are we waiting for?
Yeah.
Not okay. Can't happen. So if you want to have that festival feel, we need a little bit.
Agreed.
And that's, I think with those little, it's a game changer at the challenger level. Have a food truck there. Have some drinks there. I don't care if you're drunk watching my match. Probably better.
Yeah.
So. But again, I have to say, a lot of people are proud of you this week.
Oh, that's very kind.
Yeah. Hearing your voice, I want more tags on socials, okay? But.
They got one.
They did?
Yeah.
Missed it.
By the end.
By the end?
It was pretty cool.
Okay. But it was we were really excited for you.
Thank you.
Hearing your voice on it. And again, you got a lot of praise. I think a lot of people were thoroughly impressed. And this is kind of you. The trajectory you're on right now is...
It was nice.
It's exciting.
It was fun. It's an honor to get to do the women's final yesterday.
Yeah.
Second straight year for the women's final. Really cool. Getting to do three straight Alcaraz matches and getting to be on the call for Serena's last match.
Yeah.
If it is her last match. Her last win.
Right.
And her last match was... It's never about the broadcaster.
Right.
But to be selected for that is a huge honor. So I'm pretty...
So what does R&R look like for you?
I am going to, as soon as you leave, I'm probably going to take a nap.
Okay.
No, I mean, I've got a couple weeks at home. If this is programming announcement, I won't be in Cary or Columbus or Charleston.
Mm, okay.
But then I'm so excited to go back out to NorCal. Tiburon, Marnie is going to come with me. Her mom and Marnie and I are all going to go out there for a few days ahead of time.
Nice.
Marnie's going to be in Tiburon on Sunday during qualifying. So if anybody's out there and would like to meet the famed... famed Marnie-cation. She'll be out there. And I'm very excited about that. She's never...
Experienced?
Well, she
a challenger?
She came... No, she did when she was two.
Okay.
And three. Because I have pictures of her in the Champagne Challenger with one with Tennis Sandgren and one with Riley Opelka.
Fantastic.
The Riley one, she was terrified.
Yeah.
And I've shown it to Riley, so it's not... but she was just like... and just like sat down. She sat down on the ground and just like stared straight down. She was terrified. It's a great picture.
I'm still terrified, if that means anything.
Yeah, no, I understand. But I'm just... I also think it was... I know it's not been the easiest of times for you with tennis to see you there with Chris, getting to celebrate him a little bit as he picked up a first win this week at the US Open. That was pretty cool.
That was fun. We won that one for him.
Yeah.
We won that. It was overdue. And no, I know he feels good about it and possibly going overseas soon. So
he's going to South Korea.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's a shame. I wish he was in Tiburon.
Yeah.
But I understand that's not the best of court setups for him.
No, not necessarily, but I might just have to stop by Tiburon anyway.
You should.
You
can crash in my place.
It's with Marnie. Play Nintendo.
She would actually really like
that. I know.
She would love that.
Good seeing you. Thanks for coming to New York for a little while.
Yeah, I wish I could have come to your place.
No. We won a few auctions, and we'll be breaking some tennis cards soon.
I'm so excited about that.
Oh, my God.
I'll have to do it.
I can't wait to get a 05 Sharapova autograph card.
I don't have an autograph Sharapova book. My mom bought me that a couple of years ago. I have not read it.
The cool thing on the cards was that like Federer was considered not, it wasn't up and coming at this point. It was,
it was 05.
It was 05.
Yeah, so
but it was almost
ago.
Like he wasn't the star of the
right.
show.
Yes.
So it was very funny how they were portraying it on these deck of cards. But, I want a Bill Tilden first edition book. I thought was very cool.
Okay.
Yeah. So a few random stuff, but yeah. So now just leave if you can leave now.
I really am looking forward to that.
Yeah. Not until you get I Love New York shirts.
I do need to get an I Heart New York shirt and a rat. I think they'll have that at LaGuardia, right?
Yeah, if not, you could just find a real one somewhere.
There was in this room last night.
No, stop it.
A 3-inch roach. Oh. And I'd had to...
Welcome to the concrete jungle.
I had had 2 honey deuces, so I didn't care about anything, and I just like, you're fuck like, you. And I'm
like, I thought you like chilled out with him.
No, then it like then it rose up and destroyed me. That's why I feel like shit. It's been fun seeing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next time I come out here, hopefully I'll be able to actually get to your place and see your lovely fiance / wife / whatever it is this time next year.
No, we're done.
I mean, you or you and her?
You and her. Thanks for coming, though.
Okay, bye.
The show might be over, but the conversation isn't. Join us on social media at NoahRubin33, at MikeCTennis, and at Behind the Racket.
Expect new episodes every Monday or Tuesday. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. It really helps us expand and reach more listeners as we take you behind the racket.